Lent has started. I can hear you say, no kidding, Deacon Mike, we know that. We got ashes this past Wednesday. Your vestments are purple. There were Stations of the Cross Friday. And the universal Catholic sign of Lent, a fish fry this past Friday by the Knights of Columbus. Ah, but did you know there's a few other subtle clues as well? You won't hear the Gloria at Mass until the Easter Vigil, except for the Solemnity of St. Joseph. You also won't hear the Alleluia sung or recited. And the Gospel reading today on the first Sunday of Lent, it's always about Jesus being tempted by Satan. Now, this gospel may not be the one you're most familiar with. St. Matthew and St. Luke both have Satan challenging Jesus, you know, turning rocks into bread and challenging Jesus to throw himself down from the parapet of the temple. St. Mark is more subtle. As you should know, Satan is a fallen angel. He knows how to tempt Jesus and us as well. However, Jesus can physically see him. We can't. Today's gospel is only four verses, yet packed with information. We're still in chapter one of Mark's gospel. And this gospel occurs immediately after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. 40 was a significant number in the Old Testament, which would resonate with St. Mark's audience. In the first reading, Noah experienced rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Also, Moses and the people spent how many years wandering in the desert? 40. Elijah, you may not know this one, Elijah traveled for 40 days to get to the mountain of God. St. Mark is also the only gospel writer who refers to Jesus being among wild beasts. A few scripture scholars believe this means something to St. Mark's audience. Some of the first Christians had their faith tested, and many were ultimately martyred by wild beasts in Roman arenas. St. Mark is sending a message to his audience that they are not suffering anything that our Lord did not encounter. And finally, the last line in today's gospel, quote, repent and believe in the gospel, unquote. Where may you have heard that? Well, it is one of the two statements that may have been said to you when you received your ashes on your forehead this past Wednesday. Instead of giving up chocolate, or giving up ice cream, or maybe even giving up fighting with your brother and sister, this one time, consider Lent as not just another time for sacrifice. Consider it another time to be made anew. Lent gives us this incredible opportunity to look deep into our lives and ask ourselves, where do I need to improve? What is my biggest opportunity for growth? And what is God calling me to do? Many of you may be thinking, Deacon Mike, I've already made my plans for Lent and absolutely no time to do anything else. Between my job, school, the kids, the house, and everything else, I'm taxed out. Recently, I read a book titled Atomic Habits, a bestseller that sold over 3 million copies. And it has a section in there which is referred to habit stacking, which I believe can be applied to your Lenten journey in your spiritual life. The author talks about this habit stacking as an invaluable resource for anyone trying to build healthier habits or break away from negative patterns. Now, I'm not going to go into a summary of the book. It's like this. But I will describe a transformative practice called habit stacking in chapter 5. It's easy, it's a life hack, and what it does is it tacks a new and desired behavior literally on top of one you're already doing. I read an author saying, you can also apply it to its spiritual life. And I'll give you a few examples in a minute. But first, let me offer a huge disclaimer. To have a truly rich and spiritual life, there must be times in your day, your week, your month, and your year that are not stacked. You will never for a second regret setting aside time for just God and you alone. Time where your heart and your mind are present to our God in prayer. Even if it's only 10 minutes alone in your prayer space, start there and then see what develops. Once that time is established, it'll feel more natural to incorporate additional time with God and incorporate him into your daily habits. Now, I'm going to share a few spiritual practices and a few ways you can spiritual habit stack there. I'm going to give you two examples. The first one is morning offering. After morning prayer, which is required by clergy, and Father and myself also pray for you and your intentions during that. I then take out my phone, look at my calendar, go through my day, look at meetings, phone calls, things to do, and then I make a list. Yeah, I'm overly anal when it comes to that. And here's where the spiritual habit stack comes in for me. Now, when I make my list, I talk to God. So I'm looking, okay, God, help me with this person. They can really be an energy drain. Be with me during this tough meeting. I really need you to be with me. Maybe not a tough meeting, maybe a doctor's appointment. Lord, yeah. Let me show your love to this person at lunch who really needs you. Get the idea? Having a conversation with God about your day. This is what's going to happen, and this is where you need him. You share your day with him. I then usually close with a prayer, maybe an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. Now, there are other ways. Instead of listening to the radio, driving to work, or when you're taking your kids to school, play a rosary podcast in the car, do a morning offering, or maybe even ask your kids to pray for someone in their lives who really need it. The opportunities and the possibilities are endless. The second one I want to talk about is God's Word. Incorporate Scripture more into your daily life. Podcasts like Bible in a Year by Father Mike Schmidt is great for this. Stack this on top of your daily walk. You can do it when you're doing household chores or on your daily commute. Boom, done. I read about a person who would not let herself drink her morning coffee unless she paired it with a scripture reading. She stacked these together until they were inseparable from each other. Now, I don't know about you, but I would pretty much do anything for my morning cup of coffee. So I would personally find this hack, this spiritual habit stack, effective. Now, these are just a few spiritual habit stackings that I came up with. And I'm sure with your own creativity, you can do the same. And did you know it takes 21 days for something to become a routine? With Lent, we have 40. So we can fail a time or two, and we still have enough time to create a new routine. But you have to use these 40 days to get closer to our God and maybe start a new spiritual habit stack. But you also have to have a heightened awareness as well. Anytime you try to get closer to our God, Satan will try to stop you. He will do whatever it takes to distract you. Don't let him. Be aware of your enemy and his tactics, because if you don't know your adversary and his strategy, you're gonna fail. Satan usually focuses on where we're weak. I believe his two favorite areas are doubt and want. Let me explain. When it comes to doubt, Satan is very good at creating doubt within us. As we have our faith and self-confidence growing, be careful. You are worthy of God's love, even though you're a sinner. Heck, we're all sinners, and God still loves us. The doubt can also be, well, what are other people going to think of me? That's the wrong question. The right question you should be asking yourself is, what does God think of me? The second area Satan attacks is want versus need. We may want something, but do we need it? Or do we want something that's not good for us, even though everyone else has it? For example, I may need a new pair of shoes. But do you want the pair you can't afford? Just so you go into debt to be part of the crowd? At that point, you succumb to the temptation. The devil just won. But there can be and have been many times you have made choices where Satan lost. Remember, Lent is a time to renew our relationships with our God. And Pope Benedict XVI reminds us, Lent is a time of spiritual combat, which we must experience alongside Jesus, our Savior, and not with pride and presumption. But we need to use the tools of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.